Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. The deep woods hold monsters that we can't even imagine. It seems not everybody who goes hiking, camping, or doing something else in the woods have good experiences. It seems there are other things that we can't imagine lurking out there. If you have a story you would like to share, whether it be a deep woods story or something completely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that helps keep this channel going. Today joining me is my good friend Bad Vibe Storytelling. He read story number 2, and if you enjoy his voice, please be sure to subscribe to his channel. He's doing good stuff over there, and I know you guys will enjoy his scary stories. Now, without any further hesitation, let's jump right into the woods and find some creepy stuff. Sometimes I see weird things while I take my dog on walks. This time I took them to some little forest that's not so far from my home. Usually, this forest is very quiet, and there are not many people around. That's why I like it so much. Anyway, this particular day my dog started to bark at something. I didn't put too much attention to it until they ran towards the way they were barking at. I ran after them, in case it was a person or some animal that was causing them so much distress. But they suddenly stopped at some huge bush, and the barking stopped as well. The first thing I noticed was this bad smell of something rotten and the presence of lots of flies nearby. I wanted to investigate further, so I took a long look around the big bush, and what I found wasn't a dead animal as I expected, but instead, I found this huge bundle. It looked more like a sack, and it was tied up with a very large rope. At that moment, I didn't want to think too much about it. I thought it was some cow that died and its lazy owner left the body here inside the sack. That said, why would someone do that? It didn't make sense at all. I moved it with some large stick. I found causing a lot of flies to come on my way, and that awful, rotten smell got stuck in my nose. The barking began again, but I didn't find anything, so I continued on my way. I returned about a week later. I stayed away from there initially, but my curiosity eventually got the best of me, and I went back there to investigate some more. This time there were more flies than last time, and someone moved it not far from the bush trying to dig a hole where it was originally. The sack was covered up with some dirt. I didn't notice anything more, but it was strange. Why would someone move it? I leaned down, and I saw that sack was broken, and I could see what was inside. It looked like a head, but it had skin. It was brown and had no hair. I panicked because I realized that a person was inside of it, not a farm animal. It was a human body, and someone had put it in the fetal position so it can fit into the sack. I took my dogs and ran to my house as fast as I could. I wanted to reach the police and call them as soon as I reached my house, but my family wanted to be sure and we returned there. But strangely, this time, the sack was gone, and the half-done hole under the bush was filled with dirt again. I think someone was watching me and saw me investigating. We didn't call the police as they wouldn't believe me without any evidence.
I was 16 or 17 at the time of the story. I lived with my grandparents in southern Oklahoma. Their house was on the end of a country road, surrounded on all sides by woods and pastures. My grandpa was a truck driver and was gone for a week, or two at a time. My grandmother and I were the only ones there. It was the middle of the summer, and it was hot as hell. One night, between midnight and 2 a.m., I woke up sweating, hot and miserable. It was pitch black and extremely quiet. I realized quickly the fans and the AC were off. I stumbled to the living room, just as my grandmother did the same. The house was stuffy, and the humidity was choking, so we decided to sit on the front porch. We sat there for a few minutes, sleepily making small talk. Our roads ran for about a mile through a little town. We are at the dead end, as I mentioned. The nearest intersection is about 1,000 feet from our porch. There's a house there, and then the houses continue at that point, like any other city blocks, housing lining both sides of the road. Just about every home had a dog or more. At some point, you faintly noticed the dogs barking from way down the road. Then some more would join in, and then more. The barking progressed closer and closer. You could tell that whatever the dogs were barking at was traveling down the road in our direction. Now this wasn't strange to us. We figured someone was walking or driving down the road and was causing the dogs to bark. But as the dogs nearest to the intersection joined in, my grandmother said, "What is that?" At the intersection, I saw a green glowing light bobbing down the street. It was kind of swinging from the left to the right, up and down, as it came slowly towards us. It was pitch black outside, so we couldn't see a body. But to me, it looked like someone was walking while wearing a green glow light on a necklace. Imagine how it would bounce while you walked or jogged. Now once you cross our side of the intersection, the road is lined on both sides with 6 strands of barbed wire fence. It's about 5 feet tall, so you can't squeeze through the strands without someone spreading it for you. The green light gets halfway to our porch, both of us standing now, quietly watching, and just veers into the pasture. It never elevated over the fence. It didn't get lower or squeeze through it. It just started floating off the road and away from us. It was still traveling in the same direction, but angling away from us. It disappeared out of view, obstructed by the house across the street from us. My grandma asked me if I saw who it was. I told her it was too dark to tell. We still assumed it was a person. A minute or two later, it pops around the other side of the neighbor's house. It's maybe 300 feet away. My grandmother steps to the edge of the porch, leaning forward, trying to see it through the darkness. "What is that?" "Don't know, Granny." The thing stops, no bobbing, no weaving, just stops for a few seconds. Then starts to bob floating straight towards us. It crosses the neighbor's yard. My granny backs up towards the door. It floats over the neighbor's fence and across the street. This thing is finally close enough to see that there's no person attached to it. It's just a floating green orb, about the size of a baseball. It crosses our front fence. I kind of hear the screen door pull open, but I'm full-blown intrigued by what the hell I'm looking at. It wasn't threatening at all. Honestly, it just kind of seemed innocently aloof. Think like you just spent 10 minutes watching a toddler bumblebee around outside. That's how it felt the whole time I was watching. As it came closer, about 10 feet away, I actually began to step off the porch. Bam! Startled, I spun around just in time to hear the deadbolt slide shut on the door that my granny had just slammed shut. I lunge to the door and start banging on it. "Open the door!" The door slings open, and my grandma actually sticks the shotgun out the door as I rush past her. "What the heck is that?" "No idea, Granny." We spent a bit of time looking out the different windows of the house, but we never spotted it again. It wasn't too long after that the power and AC came back on. I have no idea what it was. I know about orbs, but this was not that kind of thing. It was tangible. It had a presence and felt like it was intelligent. We spent over 10 minutes watching it. Any ideas? My grandpa is on the road. My grandma kept a loaded shotgun by her bedroom door. This is a no-nonsense, picking cotton, walking to town because she didn't have a car, southern-raised woman. To this day, when this story comes up, she gets almost an embarrassed look on her face, like she knows it sounds crazy, and just says, "It's true."
I was hiking in the woods on my way to a campsite. As I was on my way, it was getting darker and darker. By the time that I got to where I was planning to set up the tent, I immediately got chills. At first, I thought it was nothing until later, when after I got my tent set up and was getting ready to sleep, I got those same chills from earlier again. That time, I began to get scared because I was alone and I just felt another presence there. I just felt like something was watching me, but I couldn't see or hear anything. I tried to sleep, but I couldn't fall asleep. Another hour or so goes by, and I see this, what looks to be a shadow, go by my tent. I could only see because the moon was lighting that area. I saw this shadow a few times after that, going back and forth around my campsite. It was in that same spot, as if it was just pacing back and forth. At this time, I was completely frozen. I didn't see the figure for a couple of minutes, and I thought I was okay. But suddenly, I look up and it appeared directly above me. I felt the presence of this thing just hovering over me, and after what felt like an eternity, it just seemingly disappeared, and that was the last I ever saw of it. It was honestly one of the weirdest and somewhat creepiest things I have ever experienced. Does anybody have any ideas or thoughts of what I could have experienced that night? Was it an entity? Was it some sort of, I don't know, creature just messing with me? Please let me know in the comments below, and thank you, Swamp, for sharing my story. I've lived in New Jersey my whole life, and I usually go out into the woods a lot when we go camping. So, one day, as I was going, I forgot an item that I left at the creek. Keep in mind that it was like 3 in the morning, and no one else dared to go back there. To be honest, I should have stayed. As I was walking, I heard footsteps that were trying to match mine but were doing an awful job of doing so. I turned around to see what I can only describe as an 8 to 9 foot tall, pale, skinny creature. It was an inhuman looking monster, something I only imagine existed in video games and movies. It slowly started to inch toward me and let out this god-awful scream. It then very suddenly ran toward me and tackled me down, slamming me very hard into the ground. As soon as it tackled me, it ran away. I was lucky to not be hurt too badly, but I stayed there the whole night just crying. I was honestly way too scared to walk back, but I eventually did. I know this is short and sounds fake, but do you guys have any ideas? I have plenty more encounters that scare me, but this one I can't explain. A quick update to this experience. So those things happened about a year ago. After I shared this on the show, I took a nap just to have a dream about this very figure creature. It was just staring at me, and eventually said in a distorted voice, "I'll be watching." I woke up to see a glimpse of something running out of the room. Currently, I'm on vacation in Miami. My family is not here, and I'm just hearing footsteps and seeing something peeking its head out the corner of my eye. It's very creepy. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with that creepy creature I saw that night. But once again, if anyone has any idea what this could be, please let me know. I've done some research, but I can't find something that's definitively exactly like what I saw. I used to live in a creepy log cabin in Central Oregon from ages 5 to 11. It was pretty much the house I grew up in. The owner before my family moved had gone crazy according to the landlord and shot himself in the head in the garage shop thing. A lot of creepy stuff happened there all the time, but nothing actually as real as this. Ever since I was 6 years old, I have had a recurring dream of this pasty thing crawling out of a crawl place and my closet, which nothing really would come up of this, but it would point its way and come to my bed, and I would wake up. Not the scariest dream, but it creeped me out as a kid. I had this dream at least once a month. After a couple of years from when these dreams started happening, we had our oven replaced, and the people doing it needed to get under the house through the crawl space, because they were sure we had one and nobody in my house, not even me, knew we had a crawl space to get into our house like that. The crawl space in my dreams was where there was a weird piece of wood floor that was in my closet but I didn't actually think it was a crawlspace at all. It just looked like a weird piece of wood. Turns out, it was a crawlspace that leads under the house. When I was 10, my cousin and my two best friends and I were having a barbecue with our family at the house. Everybody was inside because it was dark out and kind of cold, but my cousin and my two friends and I wanted to play hide and seek in the dark. We hid in partners, so I and my cousin would hide and my friends would go seek, and vice versa. It was me and my cousin's time to seek, so we counted and stuff like that, and then looked to go seek. Keep in mind, one of my friend's hair was down to his butt, and white, so it would glow in the dark pretty much. Therefore, she was easy to find in the dark. So as soon as we look up from keeping our eyes closed, we immediately saw a white glow in the long grass a little bit past the lawn. I told my cousin, "I see you," and one of my friends also saw her too. So we walked up to her, or it. When I got like 4 feet away, and my cousin was walking behind me, I was like, "All right, we found you." The thing was crouched over and turned its head and stared at me for around 5 seconds. It was completely hairless. This white humanoid thing. It was tall. It was probably as tall as I was when it was just crouched down, so it probably doubled me when it stand up. Its eyes were white, like a blind person. And they were circular, not like a human, but it's the body and the facial structure was just super scrawny and like a distorted human. I don't know, it's hard to explain. You could see all of its ribs and its eyes and face were super sunken in. Also, its fingers were extremely long. When the thing was staring at me, I just stood there and looked back at it. I couldn't move, really. I was just so caught up with my fear and trying to figure out what this was. But after a couple of seconds, my brain was like, "You have to move now." I backed up into my cousin, who hadn't seen anything yet. She pushed me because I backed into her. Then she got a good idea to look at it. It was slouched over and walked into the forest behind our lawn. I started running back to my house as I was so scared. I tripped and messed up my leg and my cousin started crying. My two friends who were hiding came out from the other side of the backyard to try to figure out what was going on. After I saw the thing that night, I stopped having those dreams of that thing crawling out of my floor. I don't really remember the rest of the night after that, but I didn't sleep alone or go outside for like 3 months. I put blankets on all of my windows, stayed in my room, and researched what that thing was for 5 days straight. Has anyone ever had a similar experience? Please let me know. I want answers. And thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story on your show. It definitely will help me. I live in Kentucky. It's very backward and rural here, and although I've lived here for a year, I'm still not used to the extreme amount of woods and isolated area. Coming from the beaches in Florida, things are very different here, and it's still taking me a while to adapt to my surroundings. I live in my parents' house in a rural area. Although it's next to a highway, it's not necessarily the most populated area. With 2 gas stations and a dollar store, that's it for about 20 miles in all directions. Decently rural, in my opinion. Anyway, we live on an acre of land and about 30 yards behind our house is a large 150-acre farm belonging to a farmer. Keep in mind, we've never seen this guy before and he does all his plants and planting during, well, plant season. Anyway, enough of the basic information. For the year we've lived up here, there's been a lot of weird stuff going on. To name a few, there's been times where I swear I've seen a ghost. I've heard random voices and noises, and although aliens may not be considered paranormal, I swear to you I've heard high-frequency noises and seen lights in the sky. We do live around 30 miles from Fort Knox, so could be military stuff perhaps, but I'm not entirely sure. Now, this is where the road takes a deep turn. I, as well as my family, have noticed that none of our surrounding neighbors, about 6 or so of them, are out past 9 p.m. at night. Now, I can understand that, but, I mean, there were always at least a few people up and about during the night where I am from, but there's not even a single late night party or anything here. Nothing at all. These people do not come out at night. I thought it was odd at first, but I didn't pay it much attention. Well, until recently, that is. Me and a few of my friends would occasionally get together and go out at around 1 in the morning on the back porch and smoke a joint or stargaze, and just have a good time. Each time we would do that, the field 100 feet away would start rustling with noises, as if someone was running through the underbrush and trees. Me and my friends, higher than kites, would normally laugh it off, but that was only until we heard shrieking-like noises coming from that area. Needless to say, we haven't done that ever since. That was about a month ago. Ever since then, that has mentally messed me up. I'm constantly worried that there's some type of wolf or something over there that lurks around at night, and that was my assumption until 2 nights ago. 2 nights ago, I was outside at about 11 p.m., on the spot. We have a compost bin, so after I cleaned the kitchen, I took the scraps of food and all the other stuff out there. It was a very dark, but peaceful night. I should mention now that we have a steel fence around our acre of property, with the compost at the far back of the property next to the fence. The fence also has a gate on it that opens into the farm's field. I don't know why. Anyway, as I made my way to the compost, a huge sense of unnerving feeling erupted all around me. I felt like I was being watched or stalked. It was dark as hell, and I couldn't see anything. I only had enough visible light from our outside porch. I dumped the scraps of food into the compost and heard the exact same rustling noise through the underbrush. I got ballsy here. I had a feeling that there was some messed up teenager or someone trying to scare me, so I stood still for about 20 seconds in the direction of the noise. Here's where I start to panic. I took my phone out of my pocket, shook it twice to turn the flashlight on, and shined it in the direction of the noise. At first, there was nothing really to see but bushes and soybean plants. But something odd caught my eyes. A reflection. I stood confused for a second and shined my light back over where the reflection was. And like unholy hell, there was some maybe 4-foot-tall thing crouched in some soybean plants. It was looking right at me. It had these demonic-looking red eyes. I had tears down my face right now. I'm not quite sure how I acted. I know I ran inside as fast as I could, and even though my asthma is horrible, that's the fastest I have ever run. Needless to say, I came into the house, locked the door, and ran downstairs into the basement. My room has no windows, both a blessing and a curse, but there was no way in hell that monstrosity was coming into my room. I passed out, woke up last night at about 7, and missed dinner and everything else, but immediately went outside to the same spot. Nothing was there. I even walked into the field to see if maybe what I saw were red berries or something, but nothing. After walking back to the house, the next door neighbor was out. I immediately called out to him, and as he came over, I asked him if he's ever seen anything abnormal around here, which his reply was, "Everyone I know, including myself, goes inside before nightfall. There are tales of hellcats and nightcrawlers all around here." And with that, he went on to go put his grill in and went inside. I didn't sleep much last night. Mainly, I was talking to my friends about that stuff, and since most of them live near Elizabethtown, about 25 minutes away, which is a decent-sized city, they have no idea what it could be. Anyway, I'm lost for words at this point. I'm very freaked the heck out right now. I don't know what to do. It could have been an animal, but that thing looked like no animal I've ever seen. I'm debating right now to go outside with a high-beam flashlight and scan the area from my porch. But to be honest, I may just crap myself this time if I see it again. But please, if anyone is from Kentucky, fill me in. The biggest city close to me is Louisville, and that's about an hour away for location purposes. Thank you for reading this once again. I'm very freaked out right now, and any help would be greatly appreciated. Now, this story happened in the summer of 2018. Me, my brother, and two of my other friends went into the woods behind my house with our tackle, because there are a couple of streams and ponds in the forest back there. I brought my knives to cut up fish for bait. So, We were fishing for about an hour when I heard a sound that is engraved into my mind till this very day. At first, it sounded like a red-tailed hawk, but then I realized it was like a red-tailed hawk mixed with 1,000 coyotes. I grabbed my knife and shouted, "Hey, who is there?" But I got no response. I asked again, and that's when I saw it. This thing had to be 8 to 9 feet tall. I was 6'4", and this thing was towering over me like I had never seen before. It looked so thin you could see its ribs. It was covered in blood and brownish hair all over its body. This thing let out that screech again, and we all dropped everything and just ran like hell. I ran faster than I knew was even humanly possible. Then we went straight into the house and grabbed my rifle and handgun. At this point, we looked out the back and saw that thing, towering over the horizon. He opened the window and fired. It screeched louder than before and ran off so fast, and I've never seen it since. It has been almost a year now, and I still haven't seen it. I hope it doesn't ever come back, but if it does, I have much more firepower now. This deep woods encounter happened in the mid-1980s. A friend and I went deep into the mountains of Southwest Virginia for what we thought would be a week or more of camping and digging ginseng roots. The first and second days and nights were uneventful. We hiked along during the days with my friend digging most of the ginseng and myself carrying a heavy duffel bag filled with our supplies. We camped at night under the stars, sleeping peacefully for the first two nights. Around 4:30 to 5 p.m. on the third day, a tremendous thunderstorm hit all at once. Strong winds, thunder, lightning, and a very large hail came all at once. We had to seek shelter under a large pine tree. The storm, as ferocious as it was, only lasted about 45 minutes. The sun then came back out and it became very hot once more. We decided to call it a day and set up tent. We decided to call it a day and set up camp. We found a semi-flat place, and it would be perfect, to camp below a low cliff line maybe 15 feet high. We noticed there were several stacks of flat rocks, stacked to 7 to 14 rocks high. Each stack of rocks had a very small pebble placed in the center of the top rock. The stacks ran in a line perpendicular to the bottom of the cliff ledge. We thought that was very weird and wondered who in the world would stack up rocks way out here in the middle of nowhere. We made our little camp, built a fire ring out of the stones, and started gathering wood for our campfire. We went all the way around our campsite picking up dead limbs that had fallen on the ground. Then we started breaking them into 2 to 3 foot sections of wood. Some of the larger limbs I will pick up and break across nearby trees, swinging them as hard as you could, like a baseball bat against a tree. After I had broken a few limbs in this manner, we heard what sounded to us like someone else was doing the same thing off in the distance a few ridge tops away. I said someone else must be camping over that way. My friend said, "Yes, it sounds like someone over there is doing the same thing you are." After we had gathered and broken up what we figured to be enough wood, we built a fire and cooked our evening meal. The rest of the evening was seemingly uneventful. Later that night, before the moon rose, the most terrifying event that had ever happened to either of us began to happen. First, something started shaking the trees around our camp, very violently. It would take great strength to move any of these trees as they were all fairly thick. Then it started throwing pine cones into our camp. We could hear it moving through the dry leaves circling our camp. Every so often a pine cone would whiz by our heads. Then it started screaming. It started out like something like a hoot or a coo, then progressively changed into a growling, roaring scream. It was so loud we could feel the sound inside our chests. The small sapling trees were thrown across our fire, roots first. We could hear a snapping, popping sound, roots breaking, as whatever this thing was jerked saplings out of the ground. Some of the trees were as big around as a full-grown man's wrist and 12 foot tall. Then rocks started whizzing by our heads. I asked my friend what he thought this thing was. He said, "I don't know, but it's probably going to kill us. We didn't have a firearm with us, but I had a large hunting knife. I took the string out of my boot and used it to attach the knife to the 6-foot hiking stick I carried along with me. My friend said, "What in the world do you intend to do with that?" I said, "I'm going to try to get one good stab in before this thing kills me." Ultimately, it never entered our camp. It circled our campsite. It screamed that blood-curdling, unnatural, paralyzing scream, threw things, shook trees, but never came into the light of our little campfire. After what seemed like 2 or 3 horrifying hours, it left as quickly as it had come. We stayed up way into the night talking about and trying to process what had just happened to us. Surprisingly, both of us finally fell asleep at some point, probably due to sheer exhaustion. It seemed that encounter had somehow drained us both of all of our energy. We both woke up at the crack of dawn and booked it the hell out of there. We hiked all day and finally, just as it was getting dark, came back to the small road where my brother had us dropped off. We were still about 15 miles from the nearest small town. Friends, we covered that 15 miles in record time. The next day, my friends and I both grabbed onto and tried to pull a sapling tree as big as one of the ones that were thrown across our fire off the ground. We were unable to even budge it. Both of us worked physical labor jobs and were very strong. Both of us were in our early 20s. Whatever that thing was, it pulled up those sapling roots and all like nothing and threw them at us like toothpicks. It could have easily broken our backs if it had wanted to. Since that day, I have not gone back to that part of the woods. I rarely go into the woods alone, and I never go into the woods unarmed. I don't know what that thing was, and neither of us have told the story to more than a few friends, out of fear of ridicule. That said, what I have just told you is absolutely true. This horribly creepy incident took place when we were children in New Carlisle, Ohio, an outcropping of Springfield, home to many members of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and the surrounding Dayton infrastructure. There were 4 of us, the Stotts and Shipleys, and it was around St. Patrick's Day weekend, when the springtime was just getting into swing and kids were playing outside again. Our plastic lightsabers were all the rage in 2005. A month and a half before Revenge of the Sith was due to hit theaters. On our property there were 2 looming apple trees, apart from the other tree lines, alone near the middle of the field. These trees were the perfect enemy base and our adolescent minds were blown away by how creepy they were. If they had been closer to the house or visible at night, I probably would have been scared of them, but their location served us perfectly throughout our many adventures on that farm. The Stotts were over for a barbecue, and we were playing outside with the lightsabers. We ran around in the yard chasing and sparring and dueling. Eventually, we began to plan our offensive on the apple tree Dreadfort. The adults were inside, giving us the perfect platform to let our fantasies go crazy. We stood as a team, undefeatable, in a line facing the trees at the other end of the field. We raised our sabers high, let out our war cry, and together we charged. That's when a man fell out of the tree. It was a quick drop to the ground, enough to knock the wind out of you if you landed on your back, and this pale, black-clad individual landed on his. That split second on the ground was enough to recognize what had just happened, and we turned and hightailed it back to the house screaming. Our parents came running. The larger guys went out to the trees, but the man was gone. There was a clear imprint in the dirt where he had hit the ground. The apple trees had a clear view of the back of our house, with a sight looking into our sliding glass window. Our dining room was clear as a movie. Even as a kid, there was only one clear motive for being in that tree, unannounced. That man was casing my house. I wondered from time to time if our lightsaber offensive hadn't started him into slipping. What would he have done to my family? This happened several years ago. I had a horse and the riding ring was down the hill from the barn and was bordered by woods. It was the middle of summer, so most of the wood line was pretty thick. I was riding alone in the ring, but there were other people at the barn. My ride was going well, but then my horse started being spooky towards a spot in the woods. This wasn't uncommon of him. My horse was pretty spooked by nature, and would randomly decide things he should be fine with are scary, and trying to eat him. I forced him to do circles near the scary spot and didn't think much of it. Eventually, we took a walk and a break. As we were walking, we heard something crack in the woods. My horse bolted sideways. I circled and turned him towards the spot in the woods. As we were looking at the woods, I saw a person crouched down through the branches. I thought it was the barn owner's husband doing some work in the woods. I said hi to him, but he didn't respond. The husband has some medical issues, so I thought he may need help. I took my horse out of the ring and down the trail opening. Once I got into the woods, I went around to see where I saw the person. My horse was being nervous, but I wrote it off as him being a goof. I got closer to the spot the person was, and I realized that it wasn't the barn owner's husband. It was a random guy. He had a camera and backpack with him. I shouted in surprise, and he grabbed his backpack and ran into the woods towards the back of the farm. I went out of the woods and back to the barn. When I got to the barn, the owner and her husband were mucking stalls. I told them what happened. They went into the woods to look around. When they came back, they said they found a spot deeper in the woods that looked like someone was camping at, but no one was there. They set up cameras in the woods, but nothing more ever came of it. Thanks for listening to these creepy, deep woods horror stories. If you enjoyed them, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. Much thanks to my friend Bad Vibe Storytelling for helping me read number 2 today. If you enjoy his voice, please check out his channel. I have linked it down in the description down below. It would mean a lot if you would subscribe and help my friend out. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a deep woods story, a cryptid story, or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help this channel keep going. If you're unaware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else podcasts are found. I know it's pesky sometimes with YouTube and not being able to download your stories, so if you want to do so for free, those are the places to do it. You can also find those links in the top of the description. Thank you guys once again for supporting the Swamp as you do. And if you made it all the way to the end, be sure to comment "Sunshine and Ravens," just to confuse everybody in the comments who didn't make it to the end. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.